This is Fred Nation on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Fred Fowler and Greg Frank.
It is Final Four week as we have four blue bloods left standing in college basketball. Kansas and Villanova, Duke and North Carolina will square off for the first time in the NCAA tournament on Saturday night at the Superdome in the second of the two national semifinals. And we're going to talk about all things Final Four and Duke now with Thomas Hill as we go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Again, we bring on Thomas Hill, the former Duke standout, two-time national champion in the early 90s, joining us right now on the Progressive guest line. Thomas, thanks a lot for your time. How you doing?
All right. What's happening, guys?
Yeah, not much. Just looking forward to this Final Four, and we'll certainly dive into it a little bit. But first, obviously, Coach K is the spotlight. He has been for a while in the sport this season. But I want to get your perspective on what was it like 30 years ago playing for him in the early 90s. Obviously, you guys had some really special teams. What are your biggest memories of those days?
Obviously, the biggest memories were winning. We did a lot of winning during those times. We just remember just how much fun we had. It was just fun playing in big games. It was fun practicing with the guys. You know, the guys I played with, a lot of good guys, a lot of talented guys. And, yeah, I being a 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, just a lot of fun, man, just a lot of fun.
Just on a daily basis, what was it like being around Grant Hill, Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner? How much better did those guys make you?
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, I think we made each other better. You know, I think we all made each other better because we competed. You know, every day was a competition in some way, shape, or form. What stood out for me with our teams was how Christian and Brian Davis really put their personalities on those groups. You know, they were really strong leaders, great guys. You know, like I said, you know, we all got along tremendously. So, you know, yeah, I think we all made each other better every day, which was, that was one of the big reasons why I went to Duke, because I knew I was going to get that on a daily basis.
How much different was Mike Krzyzewski then compared to right now?
Oh, man, you don't have a lot of time, do you? Listen, I tell people, when I played for him, he drove a Buick. I think now he drives a Benz. So, you know, you kind of link that together. He was a complete, you know, I would say fundamentally he's the same person, but, you know, obviously times change and he's changed with him. Like, he was extremely focused. I mean, he's a focused individual now. Like, I think people see his determination to go out a winner and those kind of things. When I played for him, before I got there, they had never won a national championship. And the vibe was he could get there but never win it. So when he walked in the gym, it was no nonsense. Like, you better have your shirt tucked in. You know, it's fascinating to me how, you know, guys now have tattoos and facial hair. Like, if you had 5 o'clock shadow, there was problem, you know. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, those are the little things about, you know, when I played for him when he was 40 something, now that he's 70 something, that I laugh at. You know, I make fun of that. You know, completely different guy. But, you know, love playing for him. Like I said, one of the biggest reasons why I went there is because it was super competitive. You knew you were going to get better every day if that was your goal. So, you know, he demanded excellence. And, you know, for me, coming from the high school I came from, playing for the high school coach I played for, you know, that was right on par for who I was. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Can you take me inside? I'm curious if there's any kind of special story or anecdote behind the play in the 92 regional final when Christian Laettner hits the shot and Grant Hill throws the pass at the Spectrum in Philly against Kentucky. Was that a play that you guys had worked on all year? What were kind of the roots of that, and how did it come about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, after 30 years, I think, you know, you see Grant, Christian, Bobby, you know, they probably talked about it so much to where they're blue in the face about it. You know, they've told that story over and over again. But yeah, that was absolutely a play that was in our package, you know, our playbook. We practice it, if not every day, you know, three or four times, you know, in a week or something like that. So, you know, we were very familiar with the play. So, you know, the ironic thing about it, and this has been said before, we were in the same situation against Wake Forest earlier in the year, and we lost because we didn't execute it. So, you know, we got back in the lab practice, you know, he late would hit the shot or something like that. And, you know, so now that fast forward, we're in the Kentucky game, he draws the play up, and I was super comfortable with it. You know, I've heard Jay Billis say that, you know, guys were we felt we were going to lose, and I can't speak for my teammates, but I went to the huddle saying, all right, let's go. What do we have? What are we going to do? And then when Coach drew the play, he's like, okay, yeah, we know this. Let's do it. Let's execute. Right. Let's execute. We're going, you know, at least we're going to get a shot. So, you know, the play design was, you know, late the first option. And if he didn't have anything, you know, with 2.1, you may have some time. Antonio Lang and myself were streaking the sidelines. So if he didn't have it, it was a touch pass and you got to get it off quick. So, right. You know, when we go out of the huddle, you know, first of all, I knew if Lake catches the ball, he's not passing. You know, he's not going to pass the ball. And I say that, and it's true, because the second game we lost that year, we lost to Carolina on the road. And, you know, I make fun of, you know, I give him heck about it today. It's like, if he'd have passed me the ball, I was open. You know, instead he kind of forced up a shot. So, you know, I knew, which was all good. He had earned the right. He deserved it. If he did shoot it and we missed, it's all good. No one's flinching at that. But I knew if he caught the ball, he's going to shoot it. And, you know, they just didn't have the size out there.
Sure.
You know, yeah. They didn't have the size. So at the end of the day, he shot over the guys and, you know, went in. And what was phenomenal to me about it was just unbelievable. It was all net. Like, it didn't hit the rim.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a swish.
And, it, you know, he was perfect. Like, that was a perfect game for him. And, you know, you hear about the Bill Walton game, that I think he had something like that in the championship game. Like, I witnessed it. Like, I'm there. Like, that, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, it was our time. It was our time.
Thomas, just generally speaking, what can you say about the quality of the sport when you were playing in the early 90s in college hoops 30 years ago? Obviously, Kansas in the 91 title game. You played the Michigan Fab Five, who I think obviously a lot of people have a lot of memories about in the 92 title game. And just what about college basketball in the 90s is similar to the way it was now? What do you think has changed? Just how do you kind of compare the two different eras of the sport?
Yeah, no, you know, it's a different game in many ways, which, as it should be, that's evolution, right? You know, the game is supposed to evolve. I think when I was in college and playing, you know, obviously you had older teams, more experienced teams. You know, it's always a debate on who's better and individual, who's better, that kind of thing. At the end of the day, you're playing at the highest level, so all of these guys are good. Right. All of them are good. And, you know, there are players that would transcend eras. You know, that's in professional sports, whatever. You know, that's just the way it is. I think, you know, because I'm not a player now, it's hard for me to say how competitive today is, you know, just from an outside observer. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's competitive. You know, there's no difference. You know, everyone's competing and, you know, trying to win championships. I know for me, you know, when you're 18, 19, and you're playing against a group that's 22, 23, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I could see the difference in that. And that, you know, those were one of the things that helped our team grow, is playing against older teams like that. So, yeah, I think today's player, guys who are playing tonight, today are super talented. You know, Paolo Banchero is one of the most talented kids I've ever seen on the basketball court. And he's only 18, which is unbelievable. You know, and then, you know, that's a reflection on how soon these guys start and how much basketball they're playing, you know, when they're super young. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, I think the game is just as good now as it was then.
few more here with Thomas Hill, the former Duke standout in the early 90s, two-time national champion. Thomas, obviously, while we talk about things that may have been different 30 years ago to now, I'm sure the rivalry with North Carolina is just as deep now as it was then. What can you say about playing in this rivalry, and just how cool is it to finally, after all these years, see these teams playing in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. You know, it's unbelievable atmosphere. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, we could be out on the playground, and it's still going to be a dogfight, and everyone's competing. And, you know, that, like I said, that's why you go to places like Duke, is to play in those kind of games. You know, tremendous rivalry, like the best, hands down the best. And as far as, you know, Duke playing Carolina now, I think from a Duke perspective, you know, this is the only way we want it. Like, I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, if it, you know, it's about winning a championship, you want to play the best. You know, you want to play the best. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity for these guys to be in. Obviously, coach, you know, he's a tactician. He really understands the game and players and, you know, just the little small nuances of the game where, you know, he makes adjustments. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, you got a kind of a rookie head coach against a veteran.
Right.
You know, what are the moves? You know, it's going to be chess. Right. You know, so that's going to be a super interesting facet of the game, of the matchup. But it's going to be a big-time game. Like, I was telling someone the other day, how ironic is it, you know, you're going out, playing your arch rival, but then you possibly could play the team that you won your first championship against.
Sure.
You know, yeah, you booking. Yeah. So, that, like, it's great. It's Hollywood. It's right. You know, right. It's poetic. You know, and that's the only way you want it. That's the only way you want it.
What do you think the emotions are going to be like for the kids for both schools on Saturday night, just when the ball goes up in the air? Is it going to be some early jitters, or is it just another game once the game starts?
No, absolutely. You know, without being in the locker room and you know, really being close to the Duke group, that's going to be a tremendous, you know, part of this game. And what I think where coach's experience will come in is, while he's been through these things, these 18, 19-year-olds have not.
Yeah.
And Saturday is going to be a different game than if you're playing at Cameron against Carolina or at Chapel Hill against Carolina. Saturday is going to be a different game. Now, you can talk about it, but if you've never gone through it, you know, controlling your emotions, being mature, like, you know, I think the biggest thing for our group is what you're doing leading up to the game. Like, if these dudes are out in the streets and, you know, it's one thing to be loose, but if you're out and whatever that is you do, you might have a problem on Saturday. Because when, as soon as you run out of the tunnel, you're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is different. This is, and if you don't have anything in your history to calm down, this, you know. Yeah, you know, that's where coach comes in a little bit, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, Thomas, last one for you. Just in terms of watching this team over the course of the season, I think I'm curious your thoughts, but I was really impressed with the Michigan State and Texas Tech games in the tournament because, you know, over the course of the season, I thought, oh, this Duke team's pretty good. What's their ceiling, though? Are they actually going to win a national championship in Coach K's final season? And I don't know that I ever got that far because there would always kind of be a setback along the way. You know, they lose to Miami in the regular season at home against Cameron. We saw the UNC game at Cameron and then the ACC title game. So things would look good and then there would be a little bit of a bump in the road. And the reason why I was so impressed by the Michigan State and Texas Tech games was because they were tested in the guts of those games, trailing, and they had to respond in the face of adversity. And you talk about these kids being 18, 19 years old, seemingly carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders with all this pressure in Coach K's final season. What did you take from those performances down the stretch to be so good, particularly against the Spartans and against the Red Raiders? And just overall, your thoughts on this collection of talent in the Coach K send-off season?
Yeah, well, in those games, what I saw, the adjustment that I think I saw Coach make was he didn't play Kills as much. Like, while Kills is a really good jump shooter, outside shooter, those weren't the games for that. So, you know, you play you put guys in there that are going to take it to the basket, and those kind of subtle things to me. I mean, he kind of did that towards the end of the year. He didn't start him. He went with a different lineup. Preparing for, because he knows in the tournament, jump shooting is not going to be where it's at. if you know what I'm saying. Like, we can't live and die by jump shooting. So if we start developing that mindset now, by the time tournament time comes, we've made adjustments. Guys are used to some kind of rotation. And, so that's, to me, that's the genius in what coach does. And it starts games before games like what's going to be on Saturday, I think. As far as the talent, unbelievable. I'm not a hype guy. I know what I see and know what, as far as what's at the professional level. That's time for another debate, I guess. But, you got the best guys. You got the best players. So now you got a chance. I will say this, and I'm not a controversy kind of guy, but I will say this. We beat this team by 30.
All right.
People laugh. We would 92 would beat this team by 30. And that's with love. Like, I'm saying that, I love these guys. But there are things that these guys don't do, as talented as they are, would get them beat.
Well, there he is, Thomas Hill, the former Duke men's basketball standout shooting guard for the teams in 91 and 92 that won it all. Thomas, we really appreciate your time, and enjoy the national semifinals on Saturday night in New Orleans.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.